with Ryan Reese. This is Live with Ryan Reese. Call now 1-888-564-6173 or post your questions using the hashtag Live Ryan Reese on his Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook.
I'm totally scared right now. We're
so
live right
about?
Now, oh, yeah. And my niece is telling me to pull one of her teeth out.
Yes.
Did
well,
get
the
it?
Story is that realistically is that I think Uncle Ryan has almost pulled every tooth out of my kid's mouth.
That is true.
Yeah,
I pulled out
Bjorn's,
a lot of teeth.
Ireland's, yeah. So,
but I don't know. Do you want to just do this right now?
Live?
I'm
just,
scared.
It's gonna save me some money in the long run with the dentist.
Let me see. Hold on. Let me see if it's loose.
Let's see.
But this is the problem with this tooth. This tooth is cut into two.
I know.
So one half of it.
Are
50%,
you part Wolverine or something?
Well, show Sean before this happens. Go with it. So half this tooth is in there like with concrete, and this other tooth is.
Oh, man.
It's like broke. It's like 50-50. That's why I'm nervous.
Well, just try it once.
Get a string, slam the door, or pull right out. No problem.
Let me see if I can get a grip.
Yeah, see if you can get a grip of this tooth.
If you're tuning in right now, Ryan is trying to be the dentist he has always desired to be.
Yes.
Trying to pull Ireland's
tooth
out.
I think he got it.
You get it?
He did it.
He did it.
Oh!
He pulled out the tooth.
How did it feel?
Any blood?
Let's see.
Wait,
let's
is that
Ireland?
Your new tooth?
Yes.
Oh, the other tooth was her new tooth.
Yes.
Oh, shoot.
Come here, Ireland. Let's see.
Mission accomplished.
Hold this and you'll get a dollar from the tooth fair.
Oh, look it. See? Look at that.
I can't believe it. We got it. We pulled the tooth live on the air.
Live on the air, we pulled the tooth. Woo!
Okay. That was freaking me out, you guys. I thought there was one tooth cut in half. That was the new tooth coming in.
So part of it broke off, and that part wouldn't come out.
Oh, my goodness.
And you got it out. Oh, man. I need to send all my kids to you now.
Well, if this whole radio thing doesn't work out, I'm going to be a dentist.
Exactly. You missed your calling.
Amazing, amazing. Well, that was awesome. That was a good experience for me. And, hey, if you got teeth that are loose, why don't you give us a call? Come down here. We'll just get them all out for you guys today. That's what we'll dedicate this next hour to.
Pulling teeth.
Well, let's give the number out. We want to take your calls. More on a serious note, this show is obviously a good time, but we do like to take calls and address life. Life. Life is amazing. Life is crazy sometimes. There's highs, there's lows. Yeah, and sometimes we need to get, you know, not only some advice, but some godly counsel, and we'll just give it to you from the scriptures, and hopefully it can help you in the situation that you're in right now. I know a lot of people are driving. It's Saturday night. I know if I wasn't in this studio and I didn't have triplets at home, I'd be driving to L.A. or somewhere to go to a concert or do something. And, you know, when you're in these situations, I mean, how many times, Sean, Melinda, can we think of when we were younger, when we'd be driving to L.A., maybe not even younger, maybe just like, you know, years ago, 8 years ago, some less than others, but driving to L.A., and you know that you should be walking with God, you should be a disciple, you should be following him, but you know you're about to get yourself into who knows. Or maybe you don't even know the length of what you're about to get yourself into on a Saturday
night,
but you got a good idea.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, go for it. No, and that's the whole thing is like, you know, as I've been just reading through John 12, you know, Jesus is addressing his disciples and other people around him. And he's just saying like, man, if you guys want to be my follower, first he says, the hour has come that I'm going to basically be glorified. Mm-hmm. And we know that means that he's on the way to the cross.
Mm. Right.
And he's on the way to the cross. And he goes on to say, basically, you know, in short, he's like, if you try to hang on to your life, you're going to lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you're going to save it for eternity.
Right.
And basically, he's just telling them, you know, to be a disciple. And if, you know, if you try to hang on to your life, and maybe that's what I was kind of alluding to, is that life that's outside of a relationship with God, you're going to lose it. And maybe you are driving right now down the street to go out to do something that has nothing to do with God. It's actually pulling you away from a relationship with him. It's taking you farther from him. Hmm. Don't do it.
Don't fall into it.
No, life is too short. And the only thing that matters on this life is the Lord. And it's not about like having this relationship with God and your life being boring. Dude, my life is exciting. Mm. These guys, right. girls in the studio, our lives are exciting. We're still going out to concerts. We're still being involved with art, with music. We're
Whatever
going to church.
Whatever it is that you're involved in, besides, you know, something that's not sinful, you can still do and still enjoy yeah. it. You know what I'm saying? The yeah. only thing that I gave up when I came to Christ was drugs and alcohol. But you know what I'm saying? But you just do other things, and then you...
Yeah, now I don't have to wake up on my own throw up anymore. Yes. I don't have to have hangovers. I don't exactly. need to be in a jail cell having a DUI again.
How much more money do you have?
Yeah, exactly.
That is true.
Yeah,
okay,
exactly.
Hey, how much would it cost you to go out? Let's, you know, because there's people that are driving that are going to go do this right now.
Right.
You go out on a night on the town yeah. to party on a Saturday night. How much money are you going to drop and how are you going to drop it?
It depends what kind of lifestyle you're using. You know, okay. living. Back in the day with
Let's
us.
Let's just talk about going out and drinking with the boys, hanging out.
Right.
Oh, you spend
girls.
Hundreds of dollars at times. I mean, yeah. as you go, just like nothing. You know, I remember working on a construction site, working all week, and then Friday comes, and you're just forking out a bunch of money. You think like you're a rock star or whatever. Money's going out like water at the bar. If you do drugs, you do spend more money, and before you know it, you wake up Monday like, I just got to work so I can party. And it just continues to drain out. And I think a lot of people live that lifestyle.
The thousands and thousands of dollars. That's just without you getting DUIs, which everyone gets.
Right.
All of our friends, we've all had several DUIs. Yep. Add up the hundreds of thousands of dollars there, plus court fees and other stupid stuff.
It's not worth it. It's not worth it at all.
Yeah. Right. So basically, don't do it. God has a plan for you. Maybe you're even driving out to the club right now because you're like, yo, I'm going to find my wife. Then I'm going to take her to church and I'm going to do missionary dating.
Yep.
I'm going to find her in a bar.
Right.
Then I'm going to take her to church, lead her to the Lord, and then I'm going to get married. That don't work.
No.
It does not work. Once in a while, that will work. But I can tell you right now, my story, that did not work. And I tried that several times.
Mm-hmm.
Sean, Melinda, no go. God created you for a purpose. He has a plan for you. And
you don't even have to look for your mate. The Lord brings you that person. You know what I'm saying? It's not like you're always on the hunt. It's like, you know what? If you are in the Lord's will and you're doing what God's called you to do, that person's going to show up. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to be like, oh, wait, what about that person? Oh, maybe that person. You know?
I've always said, too, it's like, becoming sober is just like a byproduct of me coming to the Lord. That wasn't the main thing. Maybe at the beginning, it's like I knew I needed to get sober and stuff, but that hasn't been the thing that has kept me. I'm like, oh man, I better walk with the Lord so I stay sober. That's never been the key.
Right.
Like I've really never counted how long I didn't do drugs or didn't do alcohol because my life changed in such a better way. Like I had so much peace. I had joy. I had direction. I had purpose. And that's what it comes down to, right? And you're breaking down. You have more fun today or your life is exciting. It's because life is to be exciting. Like as far as there's so many things that we can do. Each one of our lives, we're individuals. And God placed us here on this earth for a purpose. And when you find your purpose for why you were created, everything's going to flow in your life. You're going to have testings. You're going to have trials, but that's okay. As you grow in a relationship with the Lord, you see that that's part of the program. You see it in Abraham and all these characters of the Old Testament that got called to walk by faith. I was teaching on Abraham last night. Abraham came from a pagan society, and God's like, I'm going to use you. You follow me. You leave everything that you're all your comfort zone, and I want to take you on this journey. And God took Abraham on a journey with mistakes that Abraham definitely made, but his life is a testimony of a man that put his faith and trust in God. And that could be your testimony. You know, you're going out to the bar like Ryan was saying, or maybe you find yourself in a place of desperation and hopelessness. You don't think you're going to make it through what you're facing right now. This could be a moment, as you call out to the Lord, that where he could radically change the direction of your life as you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he'll lift you up and he'll direct your paths. We're going to be talking a lot of stuff. We have questions and content that's been coming in. We want to hear from you as well. You can call in at any time at 888-564-6173. 888-564-6173. We also have the live on Ryan's Facebook going on right now. You can post your comments there on any of our social medias at Melinda Reese, at mine, Sean McKeon, and all Ryan's social medias to build up content and questions that you might have.
I want to read this scripture. It says, then Jesus said to them, a little while longer the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of the light. Meaning, I mean, when you're in Christ, you have light. But when you're in darkness, you don't know where you're going. You're stumbling through life. You don't know what anything is. You know what I'm saying? You're trying to do whatever it takes to fulfill that void, because we all have a void until we come to Christ. And here's, whatever that void is.
Try this. Go to someone's house that you've never been into at midnight when it's dark with no lights on. They just blindfold you. They take you into the house. They drop you off. They take the blindfold off. You're in pitch dark. Try and find out and see where to go. You wouldn't know where you're going. You're tripping over furniture. You can't find the door. If it's pitch black, you don't know what's going on. That's a perfect example of what Jesus is saying. Yeah. When you're in this world and you don't have Christ, because he is the light of the world, then you are walking through this world in darkness. Mm. Well, I don't know if I should get this job. I don't know if I should go to college. I don't know if these are all the questions you ask. I don't know if this is the right one to marry. You know, right. All these different questions, no duh, because you're walking through this world in darkness. But Jesus said he is the light of the world. When you have him, you don't have to walk in darkness, right? Because you are children, a child of the Lord. That's amazing.
Exactly. That's right.
Okay. I mean, that's a perfect illustration of where you're at. I mean, we look at our lives in the past, and you're walking through the dark. You don't know. You're just living for each moment. But it's all about this eternal plan, like you were saying. When you go through, sometimes you go through these trials and tribulations. But when you go through it, as Christians, as believers, we know that all things work together for good for those that love Christ according to his purpose.
Right.
So sometimes we just got to hunker down, as my wife would say. I was like, hunker? What's that?
So was I throw it out. Military?
I throw it out there just to be cute. You
right.
know? Sometimes we got to hunker down.
A crystallism.
Down. We got to just get down to the nitty gritty and basically hold fast. We got to have courage. We got to hold fast and just let the storm run its course. And just know that on the flip side, on the other side, that God's working it out for his purpose.
That's it.
And that's it. So, hey, you're driving. You want to actually tune in and actually see us live? We got two dog faces, then we got one cute face over here, Melinda. But you could watch us live at ryan-reese.com. You can watch the live webcast. So, yeah, we got calls coming in right now. And my computer screen just turned off.
So
here
did
we
mine.
Go.
Well, let's take this question.
All right, let's do it.
Yeah, okay. So we have a question, and he's talking about how he spent 2 years at Calvary Chapel Bible College in Marietta. Then he went to the Coast Guard, and the roots, he was past drinking and porn, used to set those roots deep while he was stationed in Arkansas. And then he went into rehab, but then never dealt with the porn. So he went into rehab, dealt with his drugs, and dealt with drinking and all that, but never really dealt with his porn. And then he went through a divorce, and now he's stationed in San Francisco, and he's isolated himself and had a hard time getting plugged in. He feels stuck, and he's prayed for years for the Lord to help him. So basically, he's asking, how does he get over his porn? Because he's isolated. He doesn't have any fellowship. He's not, you know, dealing with any other Christians, and so he feels helpless, and he's trying to get plugged in, but he's having a hard time getting plugged in.
There's three things that we could talk about on this thing. First of all, he says that he got divorced. He never dealt with the porn problem. That is a huge problem in many relationships. Sean counsels with a lot of people. I'm sure you talked to a lot of people too, Melinda. Mm-hmm. I keep calling you Monet for some reason.
I know.
Sorry, Monet. But porn will lead to divorce, because what's going on is this is what people don't think about. They're like, oh, yeah. You know, when you're not a Christian, like, oh, yeah, my husband could watch porn. I don't care. You know, whatever.
Right.
My girlfriend. This is what's going on. When you're allowing your husband to watch porn, he is now fantasizing and having sex with whatever's on that screen, which is not you.
Right.
And not only like a girl, but how many girls a night, you know,
exactly,
are you watching on pornography?
Different girls.
Porn. So now his mind is completely filled with having sex with other women. So now, as you're the wife, you know, when the way God created it is one man, one woman. So you see her, she sees you, and that's who you're having sex with. That's your, I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for? Your fantasy or what?
Right.
I don't know. That's your That's right. Your mate. Like, right. Yeah. That's your sex world, I guess mm-hmm. you could say.
Yeah. But the worst part is that once you're watching porn and you're watching all these acts that are being done that mm. really are fantasy land. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, the statistics say that these girls are like on drugs and they get hurt.
Yeah,
it's a whole
exactly.
Situation. Yeah.
But then after you watch it, then when you sleep with your wife, you want her to do those crazy things.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's like your mind is skewed and all screwed up. Mm-hmm. And so you want her to do those things. And then when she doesn't, then all of a sudden, that problem sets in because now you want that, and the normal way that God created it is not enough for you.
Right.
Okay, so check this out.
Yes.
Paul Gomez, you know Paul?
Yes.
And Stephanie?
Yes.
So they were, you know them. So they're basically at a comedy club,
mm-hmm.
and some people came to sit, or they're at a concert or something, but these people came to sit down at the table, and during this event, this is a non-Christian event. Just some random people came over to sit with them, and next thing you know, like some like argument turns out, and they start like cussing back and forth, you know. And Paul and his wife, they're just like this is like right at their table, so they're like, right. "What is going on? This is like our date night." And these people are like literally, like the guy's like, "Come outside, I'm going to kill you." Like there's this whole turn into this whole situation. So like, what is going on? So the guy goes outside, and it turns out that the girl that remains at the table basically looked at them and goes, "My husband left me for an Asian woman because he's so big into Asian porn that he left me to go find an Asian girl." So this is not a Christian relationship,
right, but
this is a perfect example of what pornography does.
Oh,
and the perfect example is that it doesn't just affect the Christian. You know what I'm saying? It's wrong all the way around.
Yeah, these are non-Christians.
It affects everybody. It's not like, oh, well, you know, Christians, you know, you shouldn't do that. These are all the rules that Christians shouldn't do.
Yeah.
It's everybody.
Well, the surveys have been coming out even more. There have been many magazines. I don't know if it's Time Magazine or Newsweek. A couple of them over the last couple of years have done statistic surveys on pornography and saw how it destroys lives. It destroys marriages, the way that – as we're talking, these statistically has shown itself to be true. And it isn't just the Christian perspective. It is the effects of pornography is like a drug addiction. It destroys your life. It owns you. You know, earlier this morning, I sent Ryan and Melinda a clip of Ted Bundy.
Oh, that was you?
And Ted Bundy was a known serial killer, killed many young girls and women, 30, 40, I believe, and maybe even more, they suspected. And it all, he said he came from a good family. He actually came from a Christian background. His family was good moral people, did no drugs, did no alcohol. He didn't do any drugs or any alcohol as well. But what his secret was is that he started dabbling into pornography. And then as he saw a little bit more and a little bit more, the appetite grew stronger and stronger. Then it began to own him. Then he wanted to take it to the next level. As he sees this crazy stuff, you know, it hit such a level mm-hmm. and it got more intense. Now what's the next step? Now I need to perform it. Now I need to be able to act it out. And then it got to the level of violence. So he would rape. And then he would kill these girls.
Right.
And it was something that owned him. It jacked up his mind. And that's what pornography can do. It can destroy your marriage. It can destroy your perspective. You look at women differently, or you look at men differently. And it's something that Satan, we've talked about this many times, God created sex between a husband and a wife to bring them closer together. Satan takes something that God created, tries to pervert it, and now turns it into something that actually destroys
right.
and pulls apart.
And you may be saying, well, that was Bundy. You know, I mean, he you know, he's like a wild man. Well, I can attest to pornography,
mm-hmm.
getting into it, starting soft, you know, and then it started getting more hardcore and more hardcore. It grew just like the progression of sin. It will grow. And I can attest to that. I mean, you know, Sean, you got into pornography as well. It started off first, you know, with Playboy, you know, and then it just progressed to way gnarlier stuff.
Yeah.
And then that's where your mind's at. And I mean, I've told you guys on the air before stories of kids that were 15 years old, got into pornography at a young age, and then the progression of it. He grew up in the church, and then the progression of it over a couple years. Next thing you know, he was watching homosexual porn. So this kid was not gay,
right.
became gay through pornography.
Yeah.
The interesting thing about what Ted Bundy said was, which I want to hope all parents are listening, is he said that his parents were on him.
Mm-hmm.
They were like, you know, they checked up on him, and still this got through his parents. You know what I'm saying? So to think that because you're raising your child in the church – and they love the Lord, that they are never going to see it or get into it or fall into this, don't be naive. Because it can happen to anybody.
It is so easy.
Yes.
Especially now with the devices.
For sure.
You know,
yeah, you have to be on it. Like on every device that they're on and looking at everything that they are looking at. Because you don't know. It could just pop up and they're hooked.
For sure. If you haven't seen that interview before, it's pretty cool. It's 4 minutes. Robbie over here on my feed just reminded me it was James Dobson interview. So if you type in Ted Bundy with James Dobson, it's pretty powerful. He actually repented and got his heart right before the Lord before he was executed. It's a crazy story, but a great insight to a reality that we're seeing today.
Exactly.
In this time that we're living in right now, pornography is – just look up the statistics.
Mm-hmm.
This is like seriously a force that needs to be reckoned. Like, dude, it's not going anywhere.
It's not going
anywhere. It's increasing.
Yeah.
And it's gnarlier than it's ever. The stuff that if you think that your kids may see some pornography, let me tell you something. If you think that your kid might accidentally come across a topless girl, your kid's not going to accidentally come across the topless girl. Your kid's going to come across triple X hardcore porn. That's just the way it goes down. Just on social media alone, on Instagram and stuff, you could find, fully naked girls. I mean, just on accident.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
But when they come across that porn, it's not going to be some girl in a bikini. Let us not be fooling ourselves.
Right.
And I think that's why we need to pray. We need wisdom as, raising our children. You know, as we're talking about all this stuff, I have three young boys, 8, 6, and 2. You know, Melinda has kids. Ryan has little girls as well. And we need wisdom as we raise our children. I think one of the most important things is pray for a transparent relationship with your children.
Exactly.
Of open communication and relationship.
Right.
Especially what they're going through. Recognize, like we were saying this, all kids are different. They all have different weaknesses.
Right.
You need to pray for the Lord to just have that moment of time with them so they feel like they can bounce stuff off of you.
Right.
I think that's the greatest way to help in situations like this.
We got a comment. It says, what about the vote for pornographic actors to use or not use condoms on set? And the people voted no. What does that say about the society and deeply rooted we are in this addiction? Well, Steve from Upland, the fact that that was even on the voting
back,
I was like voting. And I'm like, we're voting to see if porn actors are going to wear condoms or not.
Exactly.
Right.
That's
crazy.
That's what happens when you had, the Clinton campaign and the Obama campaign and for, how many
8 years?
Well, 8 plus Clinton.
Exactly.
As well. So that whole, you could see exactly what happened. The digression of society, transgender bathrooms, and all this crazy stuff, which is just a small, I don't want to get into the whole transgender and the whole gay community. That's such a small group of people. Statistics say it's like 5% or less. Is it less?
Yes,
like 3?
Yes, exactly.
But it's like all of a sudden.
But they have a big voice.
Yeah, they have a huge voice.
Yes.
You know what's interesting? I heard someone say this recently. They said the homosexual community are the biggest, most powerful evangelist.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Think about it. They are. Think about how small of a number they are.
3%? Right. That's true.
Think about the impact that they're having.
What?
What about us Christians?
Exactly.
We got to get on that program.
Yeah.
A lot of that stuff is strategically. Strategically getting in government positions going all the way back into the 60s and 70s that started implementing different laws and opening up actually stronger restrictions against the Christian faith in a lot of ways.
Right.
I mean, you're right. I mean, using the terminology evangelist, sharing their message, that's definitely what
they're evangelizing.
Done, for sure.
I mean, I could tell you several stories of people that are evangelists. I was actually driving home the other day, coming down, by that park by my house, and I'm walking and I see this. It looks like a girl walking with pink hair. I'm like, oh, punk rock kid, So I'm driving to go to my house, and I look, and it was a full dude. Like it was a dude that looked like a chick, basically. Mm.
Wow.
Dude looked like a lady, like that one Aerosmith song. Like, straight up. I was like, dude, like this is crazy. But this is what I saw, though, when I looked at him. I was like, he looked so, uneasy, insecure.
Sad?
He just didn't seem comfortable.
Right.
In his skin. So you have this guy that's trying to be a girl. He's being a transgender. But you could tell, I mean, he's so uncomfortable in his own skin.
Right, because it's not normal.
And I just started thinking about even like, you know, when you go to Starbucks or different mm-hmm. places, coffee houses, you know, there's a lot, you know, you'll come across like, you know, different, you know, gay guys and stuff. And, you know, the way they act, I have gay friends, you know, but it's funny because some of the gay friends that I have, they act normal. Like Oliver and those dudes, they just act like normal guys. Right. They're gay. Right. They're not like, hey, how are you?
They're
you
know, not putting or, it on. Like,
yeah,
hey!
they put this whole like, you know.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'm gay and here to stay, like, yeah. big time, you know?
Exactly.
And the whole thing is, like, that's such an act. You know how hard that is to do and to be? And it's
24/7. You've got to always be on.
It's just very confusing, man. And I feel very sad for that community. But we got to evangelize them. We got to love them.
There's broken people. You know?
That's what yeah. it is.
People are broken, like you're saying right now, Ryan. And I think that's why we're able to do the things that we – that's why we do what we do.
Yeah.
We come from broken lives, broken backgrounds. We've seen the power of God, and that's what it comes down to. That's why we do this radio show.
Yeah.
And this radio show has been awesome to be able to stir, you know, talk about some of these topics and things that many people are dealing with and relating to. And we're going to continue doing this radio show. Like Ryan said, you could always tune in live at ryan-reese.com. You can go through all of our archives of the show going back to 2 years ago, and also the great need that's in the high school. You know, the high schools all around. Ryan and the team, the Whosoevers, have been doing the Kill the Noise tours. I would encourage you guys to go to thewhosoevers.com. Check out everything, the vision of the Whosoevers, the product that's there. All of those things go right back into the movement to be able to do big things.
Yeah, it's very simple. If you want to know what the movement is, we're basically empowering students one school at a time, from high schools to junior highs. Junior highs just to open up. But let me tell you, what we do is we go in, we give them music, and then we let them know that God created them for a purpose and he loves them, and that's why he died on the cross for their sins.
Yep.
And that's it. And then we get them plugged in. We get them a Bible. And we get them plugged into the Christian club there, and then the Christian club gets them plugged into the local church. But that's what we're doing. The Whosoever movement exists to bring the gospel. We are evangelists, you know. I mean, talking about, you know, the gay community, how mm-hmm. they're there's big evangelists. That's right. What we do. Mm-hmm. We're doing the same thing with our voice, because Jesus gave us these commands before he left the earth.
Exactly.
He said he gave us the Great Commission to go out and baptize and preach the gospel. From Jerusalem and to the ends of the earth. And that's what we're doing right here. And we're here in Southern California, but it's cool to see other people getting saved through the movement, through the radio show. And then they're going out and they're spreading the gospel and the word and reaching people in their communities. And that right there is what you have. That's the movement of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
That's the move of God in people's hearts all around us. It's cool because I was at this concert the other day and it was pitch black. It was at the Staples Center, and it was dark. I mean, that's like 20,000 people. And then, you know, they're waiting for the band to go on to encore. So one person put their phone up with their light, and then another one put their light up. And it was an older crowd, so they were kind of slow to
right.
it, you know? You know, when you go to, like, a younger concert, everyone's like, lights are up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, these old people are sure taking a long time to put their lights up. But what was cool is God just spoke to me, just gave me an illustration of us is – how when one person gets saved, that light turns on.
Right.
And it's a dark world. Then another person gets saved, and God's speaking to me as I'm watching this encore going on. And next thing you know, more lights, more lights, more lights. And then next thing you know, the whole place is lit.
Right.
And then next thing you know, you could see everyone that's in the Staples Center because of all these lights. And I just thought of like, dude, we got to go out and we got to preach the gospel. Yep. It's just one at a time.
Yeah.
That's why I saw one light going at a time. After time, the whole place lit up.
Exactly.
And that is the importance. That's why God, Jesus gave us that great commission.
It's not about the masses. It's about that one person.
One at a time.
You know, it's like what? He didn't care about he cared about that one sheep that was lost. He went after that one sheep. You know what I'm saying? And that one sheep is going to get another sheep. And it just goes on down the road.
Yep.
And that's just how it is.
What was that verse when it says that, you know, if you have a light off, that's the break.
That's the break.
Damn. Again. Monet, how's your hand hanging in there? All right. We love you guys. We'll see you guys back in 2 minutes.
More Live with Ryan Reese coming up.
Is everything all right?
Call now. 1-888-564-6173. Or post your questions using the hashtag LiveRyanReese on his Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook.
I think I speak for the entire administration when I say whoop-de-doo. Now, back to Live with Ryan Reese.
Don't say we didn't warn you.
Loud noises!
Wow. It happened. We're live
again.
It
did. I know.
Those breaks go too fast.
They
too
do.
Fast. I want to eat some tacos, some horchata, and then come back, but not enough time. All right, we got a question coming in from Ohio. It says, I have a homosexual friend, and I am not sure how to handle the situation. What do you have to say, Monet? Or
Her, the girl's name is Monet.
Yes, and my niece that's in this room is Monet as well. So Monet, the comment that we got was saying that she has a homosexual friend. How do we handle this?
Well, obviously you don't disown them and not be friends with them. Obviously you stay friends with them and you just wait for that opportunity for the Lord to show you how to minister to them.
I got a question.
Yes.
What would Jesus do?
Jesus would do what I said.
Love.
Right? Love him. You just love him. You don't say, oh, you're homosexual. I can't be friends with you. Get out of my face. No way.
Because if that happens, that one verse might happen. Because when you point your fingers at people,
right?
You have three fingers pointing back. You know that one verse that says, how do you tell your friend to get that splinter out of your eye when you have a log in your own eye?
Exactly.
Because when you're judging someone else for something that's going on in their life, you got some issues too.
Yeah. We all have issues.
We all do. We all do.
For sure.
Now, I'm not telling you, Monet. I'm saying in general.
In general.
To everyone that's listening.
Proverbial you. We all have issues.
To myself.
Yes.
It's hard to point fingers because I got issues myself.
Exactly.
And sin, according to the Bible, is if you're a liar, you're a murderer, you're, homosexual.
If you steal.
A drunkard. If you drink. You're a drunkard getting drunk. It's all the same.
It is.
So
and all sin is equal.
And I think one of the ways, this is how dealing with people, dealing with situations, even when you're dealing with people that you care for and you love, and maybe you bump heads a little bit, you have to ask the Lord, Lord, let me see them as you see them.
Right.
You know, I want to see them through the eyes of Jesus. I want to be moved with compassion. I want to show grace. I want to show mercy. I want to be understanding and, pray for them and for God to open up that door of communication.
Right. What do you say?
No, I just think – I was just thinking of like last night when I was talking to my wife, Crystal. I was like, take this lightly, baby. I'm like, I love you, but just sometimes. we are both laughing. She's like, Ryan, I love you so much. I just want to kill you. No, but like, in a serious note, like when you're dealing with people, you know,
yeah,
you got to say that, you know, like, hey, man, you just got to think about how God has to give you that love for people. Because sometimes, you know, your friends, your family, you know, people can drive you crazy.
Right. Jesus says something very simple that everybody knows, even if you're not really walking with the Lord. It says, do unto others as you want done unto yourself. How do you want to be treated?
Yep.
You want to be thrown in French Street all the time? You want all your dirty laundry to be thrown all through social media? Probably not. Do you want somebody to be all critical about you and your lifestyle? You want somebody to care for you and show concern for you?
Exactly.
I would say it's probably that. I want to read this question really quick.
Where's that from? Is that from Facebook?
This one's from, my Facebook, and it's from Ohio as well, and it's from a Dion. It says, I have a question. My cousin David grew up in the faith. He was a strong Christian when we were in high school, but his parents both passed away, and he's upset at God. He's distant, and anytime I bring up Jesus or God, he says it's all man-made religion to control the masses, etc. How can I approach him in conversation without him hanging up on me? Thanks in advance. You know, that's a serious question. Maybe there's someone out there that might be on both sides of this.
Right.
You know, maybe you feel that way as his friend does, where something happened in your life that you can't make sense of, and now you feel bitter. You have resentment towards it, you know? The reality of it is we do all die. You know, there will be a day appointed for all men to die. But see, that's why Christ came to die for us. He came to die in our place that we shall live. I think that the most important thing to do, Dion, is continue to pray for him. Understand that this is a battle that he is facing, that he's fighting with God. And we always lose when we're fighting against the Lord. But I would say that it will take time, but understand that God is able to overcome him in these situations. I think that knowing the character of God is probably the greatest ways that you can explain to somebody how things happen, because what Satan wants to do is he wants to distort the character of God. He always has, from the Garden of Eden all the way through, trying to make God seem like he is an evil God. People always try to bring up these particular scriptures, say, well, why did God do this in the Old Testament? Why did God do this in the Old Testament? As I look through the Old Testament and the New, I see a Lord that is graceful, that is merciful to all of us. And the situation that even this young man has faced, God was not trying to destroy his life either. God can shower him with his love and his grace and his mercy. But those are tough things. That's a fork in the road where you can go to the left or to the right. I would say this is for Ryan. I would bring him into this, because Ryan shared a lot of his testimony before when he was with a girl that he was down for, that he loved. And when she got an abortion behind his back, it broke him. And same thing. Ryan was like, well, I was going to commit my life to you, Lord, but now this, and forget it. And he went out and he partied in the world.
Two abortions.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, and that's, you know, you're fighting, right? Yeah. And it's an internal battle that that we go through.
But I think, you know, for this situation, I mean, I don't know how many times Dion has talked to, you know, him, but I would just say, you know, every time you talk to him, it's not necessarily, you know, you don't have to bring up the Lord every single time you talk to him.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you need to just be there for him in whatever capacity that is. And the Lord's going to open the door when he's ready to hear it, because he already knows it. You know what I'm saying? So it's a battle between, like you said, between him and the Lord. And we as Christians need to be there, so that when they go to that, when they finally get to the end of that battle, they know who to come to.
Yeah.
He knows what you stand for.
Exactly.
So love him until he asks you those questions.
Right.
And not while you love him, like Melinda said, just pray. Dude, fast for him. Fasting works.
It does. Mm-hmm.
It breaks strongholds. There's strongholds connected to that, dude. The enemy wants to destroy him.
Mm-hmm.
Fast, that God will break those strongholds, and that he will open his eyes and his ears to the gospel and soften his heart.
Exactly.
People, you know, we mistake, or we take lightly the fasting and praying and all that stuff.
I know.
That's where we war. We war in the spirit. It's a spiritual battle. It's for his soul.
Yep.
Pray and fast for him. So we're going to go ahead and take this. Let's give out the number before we
If you are tuning in right now, you want to call in with a question, you can call in at 888-564-6173. Again, 888-564-6173.
And I know that my Facebook is live and your Facebook's live. Yep. So if you guys have any questions on Facebook,
my Instagram is live, the one you made me get.
Oh, yeah. And Melinda's Reese's Instagram is live. Post your questions or comments, and we will take them live on the air. Let's go ahead and grab this call. Steve from New York. What's up, Steve? How are you doing tonight? This is Live with Ryan Reese.
Hello.
Hey, what's up, man? You're live. What's up?
What's up, guys? You hear me? All right. I just got a quick question. Like, I was saved about 10 years ago, and, you know, I've been walking with God and really dedicating my life. And for the past 6 years, I stopped watching pornography. Haven't gotten with a girl in, like, 10 years and, like, really tried to dedicate my life to God. And I'm about to be 30 now. You know, I'm getting older, and I just feel like God hasn't blessed me with that girl that, like, I've been looking for.
Yep.
And so I've been kind of, like, slipping up and falling back into porn now. And, like, it's just been frustrating because I felt like I've been trying to hope in God all these years, and, like, He just hasn't blessed me. And I know part of it is because of my mind too, and how I've been trained from watching porn when I was younger, and like girls that I have been with in the past. Like now, when I see girls, I kind of just like undress them with my eyes. Even I'm like, you don't match up to what I had. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if you guys had any encouragement or any just any if you deal with any of that.
Yeah, absolutely. absolutely. Well, first of all, congratulations. That is amazing that you're taking God serious. And that you haven't watched porn. I mean, just the fact that you've accomplished that is amazing. That is a big deal, you know. And you haven't watched porn. You haven't been sleep with any girls, and you're just waiting on God. I did the same exact thing. I gave my life to God. I was in that probably the same situation you were. I gave my life to God, and after, I think I didn't date any girls until I met my wife. There was a couple girls at the church.
I was going to say, whoa.
No, I didn't date. Okay, dating is dating. Like, if I'm out in the group settings, chilling, but not like dating, giving her a kiss, holding hands, or, you know, nothing like that. That's dating. All right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Here, sorry, Steve. I'm explaining this to the people in my studio. They're looking at me sideways over here. So, but basically, what happened is I waited for 7 years. And God literally brought the girl to me right in front of me. But I had to withstand from pornography and dating, like hooking up with chicks. And I just waited. And, dude, that was brutal. I know what you're going through. Dude, there's tons of guys that are going through the same thing. But a lot of guys are still watching porn and all caught up in all this garbage. At least you have been set apart. You're standing your ground, and you're waiting for God to bring you that girl. He will bring that girl. But all I do know is that He's working. When God brought my wife to me, what I didn't know at the time, I'm sitting over here feeling like stupid, like, man, I've given my life to you, God. I'm not hooking up with chicks. I'm not watching porn. Like, what's up? You know, you feel like you're hanging. What I didn't know is that God on the other side was working on my wife. He was taking her out of a bad relationship, removing her out of her job. She was in New York City. He was doing all these things in her life to remove her, to bring her over to me on the West Coast. So if that, like, your wife, who knows? Dude, your wife might be in Australia right now. You know what I mean?
You never know.
Yeah, I hope so. That's cool.
She might be throwing another shrimp on the Barbie. I mean,
exactly.
I don't know. But
I know, but you understand how, like, it just gets, like, frustrating.
No,
what I mean?
Totally. Like, totally. I'm not trying to lighten it up, Steve. Listen, dude.
Yeah.
It is extremely frustrating. I mean, I remember just being so mad at God, yelling at Him, probably even dropping a couple cuss words, just so angry and pissed at the fact that I was in the place I was at, doing everything right, but then yet, where was this girl? And I was actually 30. When did I get married?
Well, I remember you used to call me and complain about that a lot.
Yeah. I'd be like, dude, I would call Sean and be like, dude, Sean, this whole Christian thing sucks. Because when I was in the world, I had girls. And I'm not a guy probably like you. I'm not meant to be alone. Like, I like having a female with me. And I was very frustrated, man. I was very angry. But I remember I would take that frustration and anger to God and just be like, dude, what is going on? And
I just mean, stuck. Honestly, for me, like, there's been so many girls that I've turned down, like.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm trying to live this view, God, like, man, I just can't seem to, like, I don't know, find the one.
Well,
know?
Okay, well, hey, wait, because there's something I just remembered. You look at these girls from girls in the past, and they don't add up. Because, I mean, I don't know if you're, like, adding up to porn stars or I mean, there was girls I used to hook up with back in the day, and that girls are nothing compared to, like, what I married.
you know
what I'm saying? And you're probably better off not marrying those girls anyway. Huh?
How do you overcome, like, the images, like, in your mind, though? Like, some girls that I have been with, like, sometimes I meet a girl that's, like, a Christian godly girl, I'm like, nah, you don't match up to what I used to.
You need to wash your mind with the word.
This is what you want, exactly. You want, I mean, read the Proverbs 31. You want a girl that is a Jesus girl. This is the kind of girl you want. You want a girl that is so focused on Jesus that you're number two. You want a girl that is down with Jesus. And so, because that girl that's down with Jesus is going to be the wife that you've wanted. She's not going to cheat on you. She's going to be there for your kids. She's going to be reading the Bible to your kids. She's going to, because if she's filled with the Holy Spirit, that's the girl that you want. And dude, you think God's going to bring you some like chick that you would never date in your life? Like, you know, you're like, man, you know, and I'm not trying to judge girls or anything like that, but God's not going to bring you a girl that you're not attracted to.
Let's put it this way. The Lord knows the desires of your heart, and he's going to give you the desires of your heart. So you don't have to worry about like all the girls that you see or the girls that you meet and you're like, oh, I don't know about her. Because when the Lord brings you that girl, you're not going to think that. You're going to be like, wow, Lord, I can't believe you brought me this person because this is exactly what I wanted. This is my heart. And so you just have to be patient. And I know it's hard. I mean, I'm a girl and we go through different things and we're not so sexually, we don't have that sexual appetite as guys do. But I mean, seriously, I mean, when Satan tries to come in and put those images back in your mind, you need to fight him with the word and prayer and fasting. Because if you give Satan just an ounce or just a little bit into your mind, he's going to take it over before you even know it. So the minute those thoughts pop into your head, you need to be like, no way. I know this is Satan, and I know he's trying to get me to mess up, and I'm not going to allow it. And then you get into the word, and then you start praying, and then the Lord's going to take over your mind, and Satan is going to flee.
I don't think there's any problems. I mean, churches even have these places where you can go where they have the singles ministries, and you know.
Yeah. I mean, I've been doing that, guys. I mean, you know, it's just like.
Just to meet and hang out.
Yeah.
I've been doing it for like 9 years now.
Gotcha.
So it's just, you know, I just feel like sometimes I'm like, I don't know, that story in the Bible where Jesus says, like, the guy cleans up his life and the demon leaves and goes, roams around, but then he comes back with, like, a legion or something and tries to overtake you more powerful than.
Well, you have Christ in you. You have the Holy Spirit in you, so you don't have to worry about no demon possession or anything like that.
Yeah.
You're a child of God, so you don't have to worry about that. But, yeah, will the enemy come in and try and tempt you? Heck, yeah, he will. You know, I'm married and I teach the Bible and I still get porn thoughts, you know, and I'm like, where is that coming from? You know,
it's a war
that we fight, but God will bring, he will bring that girl, dude. You just gotta do me a favor, man. Just keep going for it. This could be a test.
Yes.
This could be a test that God's going to go, all right, Steve, I got your wife ready to roll. But now I'm going to put you to the test to see what you're going to do right here. Are you going to buckle at this point, or are you going to hunker down and do it?
Mm.
You know?
And you have to remember, it's in God's timing.
Yep.
You wouldn't want a wife to come any faster or any sooner than God's perfect timing. And so obviously, his timing's not yet, but hold on, because there is that right timing.
This question is big, Steve. I'm glad you called in, because there's thousands of people that are listening that are exactly in this situation.
Yeah, thanks, man. I've been following you guys since, I don't know, 08, 09, whenever you started. So.
Dang, you're OG. That's nice. OG, 09. Yep. Right on, Steve. Yeah. Love you, man. What part of New York do you live in?
What'd you say?
What part of New York do you live in?
I'm in Long Island.
Long Island.
Right on.
Right by the city.
That's sick, man. Well, right on, man. Love you, dude. Thanks for just being a part of the movement forever, man. You're the OG in the movement.
Thanks for taking my call. Thanks for talking with me, guys. Love you, brother. Appreciate it.
All right, man. Take care.
Dude, that's pretty cool, man. He's been around a long time.
Yeah, and a lot of people are dealing with that same thing that he was talking about right now. But I think you guys answered it well. And I think towards the end, Melinda, you were saying a lot of times it's God's preparing you. You don't want that person coming in any quicker.
Right.
I believe that's totally what it is. God is preparing him. And Ryan, you said the same thing. Sometimes it might be a test. He's preparing you. Because if you don't conquer some of these things now, then you put yourself in a marriage, you know, like there's still warfare that you're facing, you know, either way.
Porn's going to be there. Other girls are going to be there. Mm-hmm.
Always. Even when you're married.
Go to the gym. There's going to be girls at the gym.
Yep.
And you're going to be married. And this chick, for some reason, is going to want to have sex with you.
Exactly.
And you're a dog face.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
That's what happens.
It exactly. Yep.
All right. So we got this one comment from Hemet, from Dean and Hemet. It says, been waiting for the right woman my whole life. I was married to the wrong woman,
I know it's frustrating,
but I'm still waiting. So it sounds like he was married, he got divorced,
and now he's waiting again.
Well, I was married and divorced. My wife was married and divorced, and God restores and he brings people together. So, Dean, it happened to me and my wife. That's 2 out of 2. It could happen to you easy.
Exactly.
Just keep waiting on the Lord.
Yep.
We were not Christians either when we got divorced, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're commenting to that. Now you do it right. You know,
exactly.
Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. When that person departs, you know, let them depart. But if you get married again, you make sure that you get married in the Lord. Don't make the same mistake twice.
Right.
Don't have your lives going two different directions, and then your marriage will eventually crumble. When it's not founded upon the Lord.
I'm stoked that Steve has been turning down girls and waiting.
Exactly. Oh, yeah.
Because you get in the wrong situation, you end up divorced.
Yep.
For sure.
So you just don't jump into I don't even want to get into that whole situation, but.
Yep.
We got these other calls coming in, but they got to start typing faster. Do you have anything else we could read?
Yes.
Go ahead.
I have this one.
Go for it.
It says, Ryan, I hope you see this as I have a question for you. I am a newish believer and I'm still learning how to worship God. I've watched a few of your videos on YouTube, and I have seen a lot of people commenting saying you are a false follower and are using demonic type of artwork in your clothing, etc., on the whosoevers. I've seen people say that the imagery used isn't of God or Jesus. I'm just curious what you would say to those people and the ones that discredit you.
Donald Trump, and I quote, fake news.
Right.
End of quote. Well, let's see. Just like CNN makes it fake news, you know, you have people that are on the internet. First of all, who are these people?
Right.
Who are these people?
Why do they feel like they have the authority to say that you are not true?
Who are these people and where are they from? And where, I've seen some stuff and I'm like, where do they even get this stuff?
Exactly.
I've never even seen this artwork before. And they say that we align ourselves with certain people.
Right.
I don't even know half these people that they're saying this is all old fake news. I say it's fake news. I've been teaching the Bible, having a Bible study out here in Orange County in LA for 3 years. I'm part of the Calvary Chapel movement. I have senior pastors that oversee me. I have like the Knights of the Round Table that oversee me to make sure I don't get out of line because I don't trust myself. We've been on the radio for 2 years. And so am I a false follower? I don't think so.
No.
I wouldn't be on the radio. And by the way, we're on 38 stations from Hawaii to New York. And if I was a false follower, I would not be here.
Exactly.
And the moment I do cross those lines, I will not be here.
Right. You'll get spanked.
I will get just slapped. Just the taste slapped right out of my mouth.
Exactly.
And I actually told Sean. Sean is one of my main accountability partners. So if I get out of line, I have him.
Yep. Right. Exactly.
So if he doesn't tell me, it's going to be live with Sean McKinnon.
You know, just like you said, you know, so many things could get misconstrued. But at the end of the day, dude, I know for Ryan, he's been a broken man that got totally changed and transformed by the Lord. Now we just do ministry. Everything is out of genuine heart. We're just meant raising our children in the Lord, you know, trying to be the husbands that the Lord has called us to be and just living out our call. As simple as that. And if people have an issue or problem with that, well, you know, I think this is where we've been called to, for sure.
Don't get caught up in the fake news.
Exactly.
Okay, so question. What advice would you offer for people who are trying to balance their Christian life with music?
It depends what the context is. If they're trying to make it in the music industry, is it the balance of Christian music and secular music? I don't know what the question is.
You need more info on that question.
Well, we only have a couple minutes, so we're going to have to get back to that question next week. That is from Monet again from Ohio. We're going to have to take that call next week.
Let me read this one. This is from a friend that I've known forever, Matt Moran. He says, I just received an incredible job offer that would take me back to Hawaii. How do I come to a life-changing decision knowing my family dynamics and taking my feelings out of it and let God guide me? This is what I wanted to talk about. Making big decisions for your life, greatest way. Does God's word back it up? Do you have peace? And if there is there a door open?
Right.
You know, is there a door open? Look at the situation. Is there a door opening? Meaning things are falling into place. It's giving you opportunity to move and things are just falling into place. You're not striving. This can go from all areas of life. It could be in a relationship. It can be in everything. And then do you have peace? Because if you don't have peace, don't go.
Exactly.
And if the door is open, I mean, walk through. I think that's a good breakdown.
I want to add to this because we just went through a situation with me and my wife. So my wife, we were raising triplets. We're all hands on deck doing our thing. She gets a phone call a couple of days ago, about a week ago. Hey, one of her friends is leaving a job and there's this door open to take a job, right?
Mm-hmm.
So she's like, I'm not looking for a job. But she's like, I'm going to go just do the interview and check it out.
Right.
Just to see. Just so for the rest of her life, she can go, did I miss something?
Right, right.
She goes, it's a dream job. High salary. It's like,
of course,
it's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like amazing. So we come home. She tells me, she's like, it's the perfect job. And I'm like, wow, that sounds insane. And then I'm like, I don't know. I just don't have peace.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes my point is sometimes Satan, she didn't have peace after sleeping on it.
Right.
She ended up getting the job, by the way. She got the job. She went back for the interview, got the job. And sometimes Satan puts the shiny object in front of you, because if he could get my wife away from raising the triplets, now what, the kids are being raised in daycare and like, you know, year old. That's like the most crucial time in development for the kids at these younger years.
Yep.
So sometimes it could be of God. Sometimes Satan could come in and give you the dream job or whatever you want, but to pull you away from your family or other, or your wife or your husband, and divide the family.
Right.
It's something that can, you know, look to be good for a moment.
But you need to make sure you have the peace of God.
Real quick, and I know we're about to run out of time, but I always hear your dad tell the story back in the day with these opportunities of opening up more Kung Fu studios and everything earlier in his ministry, an opportunity he would have been able to do all this stuff, somebody that was going to back it financially and everything. He didn't do it, and look what God did. It was leading him to a ministry that we're all a part of as well.
Yep.
We love you guys. Yep. We will talk to you guys next week.
Yes. GoTheWhoServers.com. Love you. Peace.
Peace.
This has been Live with Ryan Reese. To connect or find out more about Ryan, click on ryan-reese.com. Check us out next Saturday at 9 p.m. for Live with Ryan Reese.
The Historical Jesus Podcast is the sweeping saga of the life and times of Galilean Jesus of Nazareth, as well as the faith, religion, and church founded to honor and disseminate his acts and teachings. Join me, Mark Vinette, on this fascinating journey through time, exploring the many great works of Christian theology, literature, architecture, music, and art inspired by the words and deeds of Jesus Christ.